Life after the presidency, today on UK Perspectives. I'm Alan Lytle, in this week for Tom Goodell. What does a person do when he or she is no longer the president of the United States? Well, that's something outgoing President Barack Obama will be exploring in the immediate future. My guest today is Cody J. Foster. He's a historian and presidential fellow at the University of Kentucky, where he specializes in U.S. foreign relations and American political history. Cody, welcome to UK Perspectives.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, you wrote your master's dissertation at the University of Cambridge on the history of the post-presidency. What were your major findings?
Yeah, sure. So let me shock you at first and say our most beloved, dearest post-president in history is none other than Herbert Hoover, right? America's beloved president. No, not at all. He is one of America's most hated, most despised presidents because he, you know, is blamed for the Great Depression. The fact of the matter is that once he left office, he found himself in a really unique position where he created an office. It's an unofficial office, but nonetheless, he created an office for the post-presidency that drastically changed the shape of the post-presidency for the rest of the 20th century and even moving here into the 21st century. So when he left office, what I found is that he did two things. He created citizen diplomacy and humanitarianism for the post-president. Citizen diplomacy in the sense that he was working with foreign countries. I mean, he goes over to meet with Hitler, of all people, to say, hey, stop being so belligerent. Let's kind of bring this war to a close. We don't have to have a world war. So he was working with foreign leaders, foreign dignitaries, even though President Roosevelt said, no, don't do that. This is really bad. You can't do this. And it's kind of breaking the law. The other thing that he did was become a humanitarian. He went out there and raised money for people who needed the money in Europe. All of these Europeans who were suffering under the weight of war during World War II, he raised money in the United States to send aid to these people through food, medical supplies, etc. So that's what we're seeing through the rest of the 20th century. If you look at Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter, they too are doing the exact same thing. They've created their own institutions, their own nonprofits, their own humanitarian agencies. And so that's where we're seeing the post-presidency go today. Barack Obama is going to be very different.
Let me ask you about that. What do you anticipate will be his path?
He's got a really unique path ahead of him. He was certain that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency, right? He has said it on multiple occasions. When Donald Trump won in November, it totally turned the world upside down. And he started to think about, okay, how am I going to preserve my legacy? How am I going to preserve all of the achievements that I made during my own administration? Now he is going to have to defend those over the next few years. And of course, we saw that with Herbert Hoover. He did the same with Franklin Roosevelt. He had to defend his own administration's legacy, and he had to preserve the fact that, hey, I didn't cause the Great Depression. I'm here to help as much as I can. Obama's trying to do the same thing today. He has extended, a hand to President Trump, President-elect Trump, and has said, you know, I will help you as much as I can. But he's also in a position where he's got to save his most beloved legacies. The Affordable Care Act, right? He wants to be sure that that is a lasting legacy of his administration. So I think we're going to see a couple things. He's going to focus mostly on his own personal interests. He loves his My Brother's Keeper program, where he helps underprivileged youth stay out of the prison system and to get off into college. But we're also going to see him out on the campaign trail like we've never seen a post-president before. He is going to be out there day to day working with congressmen, working with the American people to say, look, here's my administration, here's what we did, and we've got to preserve that. And there's two things we have to remember here. The first is that he's leaving office with an unprecedented high approval rating. Most presidents leave office and they are just as low can be in terms of approval ratings. He's not. He's got a high approval rating. The second thing is that 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton than they did Donald Trump. So he's going to try to latch on to that progressive spirit in the United States to preserve his own administration's legacies.
How does he do that as private citizen Barack Obama?
Yeah, he's going to be out there on a day-to-day speaking to the American people, issuing statements, going town to town, just as if he was campaigning for the presidency again, right? He's going to be speaking on a day-to-day basis. He's also going to be writing books. He's got a multi-million-dollar contract to write his first memoir. He's going to set out to preserve his own legacy through his memoir, but he's probably going to write more books after that. And the other thing, of course, that he's going to do is he's going to try to rebuild the Democratic base. There's been a lot of talk over the past few months, oh, the Democratic Party is in shambles, it's falling apart, etc. Who Who's the new leader of it? Well, we don't need a new leader. The Democrats don't need a new leader. They've got Barack Obama. He's young, he's energetic, and he's ready to get going in the next part of his career. He said so during his farewell address. You know, the journey begins now. And that's what we're going to see Barack Obama doing now, is rebuilding that Democratic base, reviving that progressive spirit, and doing everything he can in order to preserve his administration's achievements.
What about the, let's say, unwritten rule that the outgoing president or the former president kind of backs away and doesn't criticize the current president?
Sure. It's something that happened a long time ago. Harry Truman and Eisenhower and Herbert Hoover, they all kind of got together on all sorts of different occasions. Finally, Harry Truman looks at Herbert Hoover and says, you know what? We should start a club. We should start the President's Club. You be the secretary. I'll be the president. And Hoover said this is a great idea. Of course, it never became an official thing, but there are uncertain or unofficial rules that they rely on in order to advance this post-presidency in particular. And one of them, like you said, is that they don't criticize one another. When JFK was going through the Bay of Pigs or the Cuban Missile Crisis, Eisenhower came out and said, you know what, let's not criticize the president. Let's do everything we can to support him. Don't look to me so I give you advice. Look to the president. He knows what he's doing, and we should kind of rely on what he says that we should do here. Let's support him as best we can. Now, that's been the case throughout much of history. Occasionally, you'll get post-presidents who come out and they, you know, advocate against the sitting president himself. But I think that this is changing here, right? President Obama said at first, you know, we've got to support the incoming president, president-elect. We've got to support the transition of power. You know, this is really great. But over the past few months, I mean, he has consistently come out against President-elect Trump's policies, his proposed policies, the statements he's making. And I think you're going to see that a lot over the next few months, next few years, too, where he is going to be the leader of the Democratic Party as the main person who is opposing every single policy that President Trump proposes.
How does one do that when the president's the instrument of choice is that of Twitter?
Yes, it becomes really challenging there because President Obama doesn't use Twitter himself, right? Most of his staff uses Twitter on a day-to-day basis. And I think that what we're going to have to wait and see is this a tool that President-elect Trump is going to use during his own presidency, or are they going to strip it away from him? If they don't take it away, Obama's going to have to adapt to, and, you know, maybe he'll open his own personal post-presidential Twitter to counterattack what President Trump says.
Let me ask you about some notable second or third acts, if you will. Do you have a favorite story through your research? You know, well, that person really made an impact after the presidency.
Yeah. Again, I think this goes back to Hoover, Carter, Clinton. These were the post-presidents of the 20th century who'd made the most impact. Of course, you've got other post-presidents who were really active. You've got Teddy Roosevelt, for example, who went out on a bunch of safaris. I mean, he was an adventurer like no other. But he came back and created his own political party to run against his successor, his hand-chosen successor, Taft, right? He created the Bull Moose Party even during his post-presidency to run for president again. Now, of course, that changed when presidents weren't allowed to run for more than two terms or a maximum of 10 years. So we have to look at other people in the future, too. You know, Eisenhower loved playing golf. That's really all he did. George H.W. Bush at the lively age of, I think, 92, right? He is still jumping out of airplanes, skydiving every single year. George W. Bush is a painter, right? They all kind of choose their own particular paths. But really, when it comes down to people who are active, who are trying to contribute to the political process, who are trying to change the world even after their presidency, you got to look at people like Hoover, Carter, and Clinton. And one of the reasons they're so active is because they can't always accomplish what they want to accomplish when they go into office, right? They come out of office with a bunch of to-do lists, a honey-do list of sort, right, where they want to accomplish all of these personal goals that they didn't get to accomplish during their presidency. And so those kinds of things are what they're doing as humanitarians, as global activists, as citizen diplomats.
What about the changing lens of history, if you will, how former presidents are treated as well? Like Carter obviously was pilloried because of the Iran hostage crisis. But now, you know, people are kind of taking a second look at that administration.
Well, we know that over time, post-presidents tend to develop a better image than they did during their own presidency, right? Just as you mentioned Carter. Think about Nixon, the most scandalized presidency of the 20th century, perhaps. He left office. He was pardoned by Ford. He disappeared for a little while. But then he started writing books on diplomacy, and he became a really respected figure in terms of foreign policy because, hey, we have to remember, oh, yeah, he opened China, right? I mean, that's one of his greatest accomplishments.
Started the EPA.
Right, started the EPA. There's a lot of great things that he did, and only through, across a couple decades as historians start to reassess the presidency, as journalists reinterpret the presidency, and most importantly, as the president themselves write memoirs to shape their own legacy, memory changes. The public starts to reconceive, reconceptualize, reinterpret what they did during their presidency, and they often look back saying, okay, well, they really weren't all that bad. So what you're getting at here is that over time, their approval ratings are bound to go up. Even though Hoover was the most hated president in his day, he's not the most hated president today. There are people who are far worse.
Well, I guess we'll have to leave it there. My guest today on UK Perspectives has been Cody Foster, historian and presidential fellow at the University of Kentucky. You can hear our complete conversation as a podcast at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Alan Lytle.